Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome to hour two of the show. So let's get into what happened last night in Monday Night Football. The Falcons, after taking a lead in the I believe it was the third quarter, they allowed the Eagles to put together this long, we're going to beat you up, run the football type of drive. And eventually the Eagles take a lead. And it felt like the Eagles had grabbed control back after the Darnell Mooney touchdown from Kirk Cousins. And then the fourth quarter went on, and eventually the Eagles kick a field goal. And then they're driving down to put the game away, either by running out the clock or maybe scoring a touchdown. So I'll ask you this, Sean. On third and goal.
Falcons at third and three.
Falcons out of timeout.
Yes.
The Eagles call a pass play. Nick Sirianni obviously has to say, yes, Kellen Moore, you can call this pass play. Now, the pass play, the call worked because Saquon was open.
Yes.
He caught the ball short of the sticks, but he would have caught it and got a first down, tried to fall in bounds in the game. Either way, even if he goes out of bounds, they could just start kneeling and the game's over. So, let's start with we can turn off our football player. Hey, run the football. Only one good thing can happen when you throw the ball. Other two are bad. Let's get out of that.
Okay.
Logically, from watching the play call, that's a good play.
The play worked.
Your coach said, yes, let's throw the football to win this game.
Yes.
Your play caller had a good call. Your quarterback executed. All your big-time free agent running back had to do was do something he's good at, catch a football out of the backfield and then fall down, which would have been the end of the game, as long as he got the first down, obviously. So I am not going to criticize Nick Sirianni or Kellen Moore for the play call.
No.
That play call was a good one.
It was a good play call. The guy, Saquon Barkley, was open.
You had, at least on the night or without A.J. Brown, your second best offensive player with the ball in his hands. And it's very simple. Not very difficult. Catch the ball, fall down.
Yeah.
You win. So the only people I'm going to blame in that instance is Saquon Barkley. Only person is Saquon Barkley. And then we can get into Vic Fangio, who is the Eagles' defensive coordinator, a guy they hired. And let's keep Vic Fangio off of Monday Night Football, because the last time Vic Fangio was a defensive coordinator on a Monday Night Football game, he allowed Will Levis to drive for 14 points in 3 minutes and lose the game.
Will Levis legacy drive?
Yes. It was a moment people thought, hey, Will Levis has something.
Will Levis is still the Titans quarterback because of that drive.
Yes. If he had not done that, Brian Callahan wouldn't have been forced to play Will Levis this year. And in fact, before we keep going with the Eagles talk, I think I have it saved over there. Brian Callahan, who is famous now for asking Will Levis after he threw away a football on a lateral that was recovered when they could have at least kicked a field goal and gone up by two scores against the Jets, or at least taken the lead. I forgot exactly where they were in that game. At least taken a lead against the Jets. He ran on the field and said, what the F are you doing to Will Levis? It was caught on camera, and he was asked about it in his Monday presser, and this is what he said.
I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better, and so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Yeah. He's dead on. It was dumb, and he cost us points, and he didn't learn. He didn't learn from his mistakes. He wasn't strictly parallel against the Bears when he made that play. He was parallel to the ground against the Jets. You would think that would be the first thing you think of as a quarterback. If I'm parallel to the ground, don't try to make a play with the football. Patrick Mahomes did it one time, and now everyone thinks they can do it. In fact, Patrick Mahomes did it that one time, and they put it in a Madden game because, for whatever reason, that's a normal thing for quarterbacks to do. So, Will Levis, if your stomach is facing the ground, don't try to throw the football anywhere.
Just hold on to it.
Just hold on to it. It was third down. You throwing the ball 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage was going to result in what? The best thing that could happen was, who was it? Was it Ridley? Whoever it was.
That he was
tossing
it to?
It
was Pollard, I think.
Okay. The best thing that could have happened to Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears was them getting clobbered by a Jets linebacker, yes, but them holding on to the football. Nothing good was going to happen there. Just fall down, take your field goal, and you're leading the game.
It was even worse than the Reggie Bush one in the national championship game. Yeah. Like, it was worse.
It
than
was
that.
Way worse.
It was a worse decision than the Reggie Bush
one. It is a terrible decision. You can even give Reggie Bush some grace. You're a running back.
At least it was the open field.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a running back. You're trying to make a play down the field. You're a quarterback surrounded by three guys. You're parallel to the ground. Cut it out. Just fall down. Will Levis, no one's looking for that from you. We expect the worst from you. So anytime you don't provide the worst, you get applauded. Don't give us worse than the worst like you did the last 2 weeks.
I just have one question about this, and then we can go back to Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Where the hell did Will Levis get all this confidence from?
Vic Fangio? That Monday night game?
I get why Pat Mahomes tries stuff like that.
There's no evidence of you getting away with this stuff. In fact, even at Kentucky, the only thing you were being praised for is being a big, strong-arm quarterback in the pocket. No one was looking at you and going, man, look at all the off-platform plays he makes.
That's the thing. He wasn't getting away with this in college.
No.
Like, why did you ever think you could do this? Okay.
It's a great question.
Okay. Vic Fangio.
Other than, you're a starting quarterback in the NFL, there's no other reason he would have any confidence to believe, hey, I can try this and it'll work for me. In fact, he should think to himself, I tried it last week. It didn't work. I will never do it again. Instead, he's like, I got one more in me. We'll see. And of course, his coach is being applauded for pretty much saying, hey, dumbass, don't do that anymore. You've done it 2 weeks in a row.
Applauded for not being stupid.
Yeah. And Brian Callahan is a guy who's not attached to Will Levis. He was, unless they said strictly, hey, make Will Levis a star, like the Dolphins pretty much did with Mike McDaniel and Tua, he can probably get away from Will Levis pretty quickly, just like Dave Canales has done with Bryce Young. So Will Levis, I would knock it off. I know they traded Malik Willis away. Now you just think you can do whatever the hell you want. But I would say, considering how your coach treated you, no, you can't.
If y'all are high enough in the draft,
yeah, and the way you're playing, you're making it very possible.
Yeah, keep throwing it to the other team.
Why do you keep playing, and all of a sudden you're gonna be looking at some dude doing the look at my watch celebration as your quarterback, and you wondering where your career's going? You better watch it, or maybe Carson Beck will take your job. Who knows? Go back to Monday Night Football. So, like I said, Vic Fangio, the last time he was on Monday Night Football, he gave up a 13-point lead to the aforementioned Will Levis, who we know doesn't handle pressure situations that greatly, but somehow, some way, could dice your defense up, so that's not a credit to you. And then he does it to Kirk Cousins last night, a guy who's known for not being clutch, known for being questioned in prime time, and all Kirk Cousins does is, oh, I like Darnell Mooney here. I like him again. And then eventually, Drake London cooks Darius Slay on an outside route, and they win the game, of course, because the NFL can't end the game normally. Drake London gets penalized for up in the air. I don't know what his explanation was for what we all know as him firing guns, a gun up in the air. I don't know what he tried to tell the referee that he was doing that shouldn't have been. He should have been thrown a flag. It shouldn't have been a flag thrown on that. But the referee wasn't hearing it.
The T-shirt cannon.
Possibly. I know. He wasn't directing it at anyone except for all the Eagles fans, I guess, or the sky. I don't know. So maybe you don't get penalized for that, but the referee did throw the flag. It resulted in an extended extra point that was made, so it didn't cost them. And then eventually Jesse Bates picks off one Jalen Hurts at 10 the game.
The biggest problem with Drake London is that he was doing it literally like elbow to elbow with the referee, in front of the referee as you can get.
The referee's like, oh, you're just going to disrespect me, huh?
Yeah, it's like, at least At least you don't do this right in front of me.
Yeah, he caught
it. In my personal space doing this.
He caught it in the front of the end zone. So he didn't have the buffer of being in the back of the end zone then doing it.
Or in the middle of the field.
Yeah, and the ref not being anywhere near him. The ref was like, oh, you don't see me standing here, huh? I'm standing right here. You're going to do this? I got to throw a flag on you.
It was a power trip by the ref.
The referee was like, I'm standing right here. You just can't do that in front of me and expect me not to do anything. So he gets a flag thrown on him. Raheem Morris is incredulous over the situation. They make the kick. They win the game. The Falcons win. They're 1-1. Kirk Cousins' Achilles works, apparently. All things are good in Atlanta. Arthur Blank was on the field. You hear him going, woo! I was like, okay, cool. You still got Kirk Cousins. But at least for a night, you got Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, hey.
I got Kirk Cousins.
We got the classic Kirk Cousins.
That move worked. Look at us making smart decisions.
Yeah, just run 2-minute drill the whole game next time.
Or just have
you'll be the Saints.
Or just have Vic Fangio trying to defend a lead late. I don't know. I don't know if you can get that every game. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he can't be a traveling defensive coordinator following the Falcons along.
All-time DC.
Yeah, for anyone playing the Falcons. But it's a big win for the Falcons. Don't want to fall to 0-2, particularly when the Saints look like some juggernaut we've never seen before. But for the Eagles, all the things you thought you had corrected, even if it's just one instance, all those questions come back up. You blow a game you should have won. Your DC that was supposed to fix things did not. And then now, not on this show, we think the coach made the right decision. I guess you could ask, was it ever a right decision to throw the football? But I will not blame the play he probably stamped and said, Duke, run that play. I'm not going to blame Kellen Moore for calling that play. The only wiggle room is, do we blame him for even suggesting throwing the football?
But then at that point, what you're saying is that you should just take a knee.
Yeah.
Because if you hand the ball off, he could fumble.
This is the other thing that people don't...
Like, if you call any play, a bad thing could happen. Yes.
That's what people don't bring up. That I know he dropped the pass and the time stopped. But if he is handed the ball and he fumbles, then should he have just kneeled? Should the Eagles have stopped trying to get a first down? Sure. The worst thing that could have happened outside of him tipping the ball up and it being returned for a touchdown. He dropped it. You had a chip shot field goal anyway. You make it, and the Falcons have time with no timeouts. But your point remains. Are we asking them not to try to get a first down, but just to do it in an alleged safe way? Because we've never seen anyone fumble before. In fact, the week before, when the Eagles were trying to kill, I think they're trying to do a tush push, they fumbled the center exchange.
Yeah.
Last week in a game they're trying to put away. So there's no guarantees. We know that. Yeah. This show, the Haven of Nonsense thinks, let's be logical here.
Yeah, just
the play was correct.
Have your star running back catch
all
the ball.
All you got to do is have Saquon Barkley catch the ball wide open, and the game is over. I like I said before, on offense, the only one to blame in that scenario is Saquon. And on defense, you might want to throw some shade at some of their DBs, but yeah, mostly Vic Fangio.
Darius Slay wasn't fantastic.
No, Quinyon Mitchell, they say on one of the Darnell Mooney catches, he blew the zone. But your DC is the one teaching the young player what to do. You had him out there, and he didn't execute. So Fangio catches some of this,
too. It was
too.
So fast.
It was so quick.
The drive, it was what? One to Pitts, two to Mooney.
One,
I think an incomplete pass to McLeod, and then a touchdown.
Like, yeah, where McLeod thinks he got interfered with. We didn't really see a angle from the back where we could have seen if he was being turned.
I'm fine with them not calling that.
What about the Chiefs-Bengals one?
I'm okay with them calling that one.
That one was pretty
obvious. More egregious.
Yeah, that was nuts. People were fighting that. Of course, it popped up again. The Patrick Mahomes exchanging his jersey with the ref meme again. That one was obvious. How could you not call that? That was an obvious penalty.
It's same thing with the Super Bowl against the Eagles.
Yeah, and
it's one's also very obvious.
And the guy admitted to it. And it's so funny, people forget that. Remember that Patrick Mahomes was furious, and no one was complaining about this one, particularly if you are in the mode of thinking that the Chiefs are always helped by the refs. When Kadarius Toney was lined up all sides on the Travis Kelce catch, and there, no one was going, oh.
They screwed him.
No one said that. No one was, except for Chiefs fans. No one was talking about the refs being on the Chiefs' side. Then you're like, yeah, you made the right call. So it goes both ways. There it is. But that happened. A disaster class for my Sunday ticket team, the Eagles. And that's why I picked them, because I had some thoughts about what could happen there. And 1-1, Nick Sirianni being blamed for the loss when simply point to your big acquisition and tell him, just catch the damn ball. That's what Barkley said. I let the team down with the drop. And that you did. When we come back, we'll go around college football. That's what kind of the misery index even is. It allows us to go around college football, get to some things we did not talk about. We'll go to Fort Worth. Shout out to TCU. I don't know how you let KJ Jefferson do that to you, but you did. And we will certainly go around the country as well. We'll get into some other things in the NFL before we wrap it up for the day. And we'll also hear from D'Amico Ryans because he has thoughts on what happened on the sideline with Azeez Al-Shaair. And you won't be surprised by what he said. It was a lot of coach stuff. D'Amico, despite being a treasure here, he's very coach-like when he's answering questions, and probably rightfully so. So we'll get to that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
From my, perspective, seeing Azeez, he had a big hit on the quarterback, and everyone goes, everyone gets a little antsy when the quarterback gets hit on the sideline, and, but if the quarterback stays in, he's going to get hit. Like, and now I think everybody's a little sensitive when there are big hits in the league. Like, we still play a physical game, and you're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us. That's just how we operate here. And, what happened after that, Azeez is, of course, he's surrounded by a lot of their players and also some staff, and they are surrounding him. We got people pushing Azeez and so we have to, as the game, we have to be better, right? From protecting all players involved, especially when something happens on the opposite sideline, just have to be better. And we know, from Azeez's perspective, we, can't throw punches or anything like that. But just overall, we just have to be able to protect players, and it goes both ways. When you got guys surrounding one of our players and ununiformed staff that's surrounding and in that little mix up as well, that's a problem, and we have to get it fixed.
There's bad people on both sides. Not surprising that he would come to the defense of his player. I don't think the NFL is going to see it the same way, because while the belief from, or at least the thought from D'Amico and we heard from Azeez Al-Shaair as well, they believe he was being pushed, and Azeez positioned it where he feared for his safety, I guess. Which, that's reasonable. There are a lot of dudes yelling at you, and they're surrounding you. But when you threw a punch, not one bear hit you back. Are the bears soft?
Yes.
Sean is very clear on that. Or are the bears disciplined? Because
I think Roschon Johnson's disciplined. I think all the other Bears
are soft.
Yeah, not standing up for their quarterback.
So, well, that was apparently why Azeez feared for him, his safety, because they were standing up for their quarterback, just not in the mode of punching him in the face. They were talking to him, bumping him a little bit. So they were standing up for him in a non-penalized sort of way. So it was Azeez, because he wasn't penalized either. But traditionally, not a penalized sort of way. We're going to bump. You're going to talk to you. You're going to have a little struggle getting off the sideline. We're going to let you know that we're here. And then Roschon Johnson, who was probably just standing there.
Think about what he's going to get for dinner.
Yeah. Houston, can we get something neat before we get on the plane? Something like that. And then he gets punched in the face.
Whoa.
What am I? I'm sure he might. I won't blame Roschon Johnson. I don't know if he said anything or not, but I just know what he didn't like. He wasn't looked that kindly by Azeez Al-Shaair. Azeez didn't like the cut of his jib, as people might say, and he punched him in the face, and then he headbutted another guy. I don't think Roschon got a headbutt, too. I think that was another player.
That was a different.
Maybe it was Darnell Wright, the tackle. I don't remember.
It was. I remember it as being
bigger person. So we're going to defend ourselves, but the league needs to be better.
Yes.
The league.
It takes all of us. It was painted in the end zone.
Choose love, even. Choose love on the sidelines. So if you hit our quarterback really hard and you happen to come into the sideline, we're not going to talk to you. We're not going to bump you. We're going to allow you to peacefully walk back onto the field. Because Aziz Alshire couldn't have possibly been the aggressor in any of that.
No.
He was being pushed to that level by the Bears.
I will say Aziz Alshire was kind of on 10 that entire game.
Yes, he was.
In general,
for a linebacker, cool. We love that.
Yes, that's the energy you want from your middle linebacker. Just sometimes, you know. Sometimes
but when you're
on 10 and then you're on the opposing sideline fearing for your safety,
I might
have to punch someone.
I'm going to have to grab the ox from you or at least turn you down to 5 so you don't potentially get penalized.
A 7.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I still need you to be revved up so it doesn't take a long time to build back up to a 10. But 7, you want to curse someone out, you want to talk a little bit, I'm good. Just make your way back onto the field to play. That's all I'm looking
in
for.
In an orderly manner.
It doesn't have to be that orderly. Just don't throw a punch. I don't care. It could be disorderly. You can be as disorderly as you want, except when you get to the punch level.
Keep your hands to yourself.
That's all. Nah, not even. Shove a guy out of your way. That's fine. Just don't make yourself vulnerable to a penalty. And I'm not quite sure how the refs didn't see it, but they didn't. And the Texans are fortunate because that drive would have been extended and your on 10 linebacker probably would have been thrown out of the game. Because they talked about it during the broadcast that they can't throw a flag from New York on the play. They can't initiate a flag. But if they had thrown a flag, then even if they didn't kick out Aziz Alshire, New York could have popped in and go, actually, you should throw him out of the game. So that could have happened. So they avoided that, and he'll likely get a giant fine. But since that will be the extent of it, I think the Texans should feel fortunate about that. Okay, Eric. I don't know if this is this Eric Wong who wants to talk Longhorns?
I think he called in earlier.
Okay. Eric, you normally want to talk Astros and Abigail Dye, but today you want to start with the Longhorns. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dale, how you doing? Sorry, I had to hang up. I had to take a call from New York. Yeah, I was talking about Longhorns. Did they make a mistake letting Malik Murphy go? And is there a QB controversy in the 40 acres? Also, why did Texans play so dirty, hitting Caleb Williams way after the fact he was out of bounds?
Oh, I thought you had more.
And Abigail Dye.
Oh, there it is.
Her workouts are really hot, and so are Kim Castro's. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
I will continue not to do any research on that. I'm just going to assume he's not telling the truth. I've had no corroboration about their workout, so who knows? Maybe you're at their gym, which would be weirder than your normal call. But there is no controversy on the 40 acres. If you ask Steve Sarkisian, I imagine the belief is that as soon as Quinn Ewers is healthy, he will play.
And then the first interception. No, I agree. I mean, we can't yo-yo from after the Michigan game, be like
crediting him for what he did in that first half
and go all the way to he might be the number one pick in the draft
to saying he can't get his job back because Arch was lighting up UTSA. Look, I welcome the nonsense, but we got to have some standards.
Can you do it against they play UL Monroe.
Yeah, is Arch going to do it against – let Arch do it against a Power 4 school before we start that.
Mississippi State 2 weeks from now.
They're barely a Power 4 school, well, but in our circumstances, at least –
you can
least,
only play who's on the schedule, Dell.
I was going to say at least they're a Power 4 school in name despite the circumstances of what's going on their roster. So, sure, light up Mississippi State, cool, but at least be better than the Toledo quarterback because if you're not, then maybe Malik Murphy should have stayed. And that was his other question. No, they're not. What did he say?
Regretting.
No, later. They're not regretting.
Malik Murphy, though, saw a very helpful side-by-side between his stats this year and a former Duke quarterback's stats.
Riley Leonard's stats.
Leonard, who's how many touchdown passes do you think Riley Leonard has this season?
Ooh.
Three games.
He didn't throw one against Northern Illinois, from what I remember. Who did they play first?
A&M.
One?
Zero.
I should have gone with zero. It felt like the right choice the whole time.
He has not thrown a touchdown.
He has run for several.
He has run for, yeah. He ran for, I think, 3 against Purdue.
This is why when they made that.
And Malik Murphy's thrown for 8, by the way.
Yeah. Duke is not great, but Notre Dame would be better off with Malik Murphy, and Duke is better off with him as opposed to Riley Leonard. Notre Dame is being probably held back a little bit. Not that there's a better quarterback on the roster than Riley Leonard, but there are better quarterbacks in the country that were available than Riley Leonard, and they went with him.
When you take someone from the portal, you are at least theoretically opening yourself up to take anyone.
Yeah, and they just now, of course, that's not expressly true. Some guys are earmarked for a program even before they get into the portal. Yes. But Notre Dame was interested in a portal quarterback and for some reason decided, Riley Leonard, you're our guy. Or they didn't want to get into the game of actually bidding for one of the more talented guys. I said it before. I don't know why. I guess I can guess Notre Dame holds itself apart from some of those conversations. But Notre Dame, you like your defense. Your offensive line is young, and now you're going to be missing two of those guys. They were injured. But why not go all in on a big-time quarterback? And Riley Leonard doesn't fit the profile. All these title contenders, for the most part, whether they're a portal guy or a guy they recruited, are big-timers. Quinn Ewers, big-timer.
Arch Manning.
Jalen Milroe has proved himself to be a big-timer, no matter some of his weaknesses as far as throwing the football. Well, Arch Manning, he's there too. Cam Ward, big-timer. Will Howard, question marks aside, he was one of the most coveted guys in the portal as well. Riley Leonard, which one of these things are not like the other? Riley Leonard is not a big-time quarterback, and Notre Dame refuses to get into that ball game, and that's why they're always what they are, along with lack of production from the wide receiver position too. So the two glamour spots in college football beyond defensive end and corner, they don't do a great job of either developing or going out and doing what it takes to go get some guys to fill those spots. Imagine what Alabama – well, Alabama tried it and was wrong, and then they eventually got back to Milroe last year, and it was worked out for them. But you think Ohio State would have been comfortable going, you know what? Obviously, they weren't. Hey, is it Devin Brown that's been on the roster for you?
Number 33.
Yeah, that says all you need to know. He's sticking with the number 33. Get a real quarterback number if you want to play at Ohio State. Come on. Be serious about things.
We still have CJ Stroud.
They would do that. They would do it on principle, keep him out of the lineup, because they don't want a 33 running out there for them playing quarterback. All the programs you think about having a chance at a national title, their quarterback is, as the kids would say, is a problem for the most part. Riley Leonard ain't a problem for anyone but Notre Dame. That's why they're turkey. Dependable, hardy, never going to be anything special. Even if you deep fry that thing. At the end of the day, it's still turkey. That's what Notre Dame is. Should have got yourself a different quarterback. You'd be better off. But they don't listen to me. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you wanna be in like the 10 to 15 range your entire life. I'm good with that.
Imagine being a Notre Dame fan listening to this. We won 66-7.
Doesn't matter.
This call was about Texas.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
We've gotten 5 straight minutes on how much we suck.
It's not that you suck. It's that
or how much they are falling short.
You don't want to play the game, Notre Dame, and that's where you are. Why you are where you are. And because of the CFP, the expanded version, you're going to get your opportunities to get your ass kicked in a playoff again. And now you might win a game because the field is larger. But we all know when it comes down to it, all those dreams of a national title, they're just that. Dreams. Fantasies even. Delusions, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm done. It wasn't a misery index for Notre Dame.
No, they won by 59 points.
They bounced back and killed a Big Ten team.
Riley Leonard threw for zero touchdown, only threw for like 100
yards. Well, you
yards.
Set me up because you started talking about guys not throwing for touchdowns, and how can you have that as your quarterback if you think you can win a title?
But he ran for three.
Yeah, if it was 1988 and his name was Tony Rice, cool. But it's a different era now. If he had the Rocket out there, Raheem Ismail, cool. You can run for your three touchdowns, but it ain't the way the game is played today. We'll get into the misery index that doesn't feature Notre Dame.
Because why would it?
Because they won, but it should. When you lose to Northern Illinois at home, you should always be on it.
You get 2 weeks of it. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you should still be on it, but we'll get into that when we come back. But first, Sean wants to talk about Prize Picks.
Yes. It's the way to not be miserable, and I was definitely not miserable last night. They have these stat projection combos that you can do. So you can do Kirk Cousins and Jalen Hurts to throw for more or less than 454.5 yards. I took the less on that, and despite Vic Fangio's best efforts, the less hit. And you can maybe do this one, maybe my guilty pleasure for any game, but especially the big games, is the kickers, more or less the total field goal yardage combined. It feels like it hits a lot for me, and I took the more on Younghoe Koo and Jake Elliott's more than 112.5. They did 152 of combined field goal yards, and then Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson combo yards went over, and where I fell short was believing in Spencer Arrighetti to throw more than 4.5 strikeouts. I did get Paul Skeens throwing 7 strikeouts. So, yes, I hit on 4 of the 5 way in these picks, and I still left with a little bit of money in my pocket because you can do flex plays, which allows you to get one wrong and still get your money. So, if you want to maybe put in a 5-legger for the today's Astros game or for any of the baseball action today, download Prize Picks right now and use code MAPES, M-A-P-E-S, and get get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get that $50 if you just use code MAPES. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
You can be in a studio on Friday for the listener appreciation party. We'll do a giveaway here before we close out this segment. Your chance to hang out with us, eat great food, get a chance to take a picture with the specific Astros trophy that may commemorate them being the best team in baseball in 2022. If you're wondering why I'm dancing around the actual title of that trophy, just not allowed to say it. So we'll do that giveaway here shortly before we wrap it up. But I did want to do the misery index in college football. I think Notre Dame belongs on it still because you lose to Northern Illinois. You at least get 2 weeks, but push them aside. I think number one still remains FSU and their fans. They lost to Memphis and another bad offensive performance. The defense played well enough to win. There was kind of a mind-numbing decision made by Mike Norvell to go for 2 because his thought was, we want to win this game 21-20. Well, of course, they don't get the 2, so they would have needed just a 2 to tie the game. And none of that comes. They go down to Memphis. Now they're 0-3. A team who won 10-plus games for the last 2 seasons is now 0-3. He just miscalculated his portal additions. Sometimes you hit on him, sometimes you don't. He hit on Keon Coleman. He hit on Jared Verse, who had been in the program for a couple years. He hit on Fisk, another defensive lineman. He, along with Verse, are with the Rams right now. He hit, but he also had Jordan Travis. He does not have Jordan Travis, and their offensive line cannot run the football against anyone. So now you got problems, and DJU isn't going to be an elevator of talent. He's barely a bus driver for a team, a bus rider. He's definitely not a driver, and he may be the brakes on an offense right now. So I think they're at the top. Another poor performance from them. And a good game later in the day was TCU losing to UCF. I got to throw TCU on the list of the misery index. You blow a 21-point lead to KJ Jefferson, who was having issues throwing the football in his first 2 games against lesser opponents. That should be a win for TCU. You're at home. You got a shot to go to 3-0. And you let KJ Jefferson on 2 straight drives pick you apart. That was a really good game. It ended great, too. It was a game where TCU kept blocking UCF extra points. UCF, I think, did they have 3 kicks blocked in that game?
Yeah, they had 3 different kicks blocked. And so when they scored the touchdown,
It wasn't a foregone conclusion they're going to win that game.
It was 34-34, and they were kicking the extra point. And the announcer was like, well,
it's not over yet,
yeah,
guys.
We don't know if they're going to actually make this.
Yeah, but it was made. UCF gets out of there with the win, so they are 3-0. And I think Braden Fowler-Nicolosi goes on the misery index, so he's had a rough time of it.
The fact we know his name.
Yeah, well, it started in the offseason when he was touting the fact that he turned down $600K to stay at Colorado State.
Even then, I barely knew his name. now, like, people know his name. People yeah. know who he is.
And if you don't, he is the quarterback for Colorado State. He did a sit-down interview last week before the game against Colorado, along with his star receiver, Torrey Horton, about why Colorado was fake and they should have beat them last year. In fact, Torrey Horton said, we should have murdered those boys last year. And they certainly expected to win the game on Saturday. And it didn't go their way. They're blown out. And he tried to shake hands with, or at least have a conversation with Shedeur Sanders at the end of the game. And Shedeur Sanders did not shake his hand. He just started pointing at him and saying, you were the one talking all that on social media. So Braden Fowler Nicolosi, you know, said something a little sarcastic as they were separating. And he and his Colorado State Rams are not good. They lose to Colorado, and Dion had words for those two, Horton and Nicolosi, about their actions. Calling out our team when you just got beat by 50, throw them on there too. And finally, I was debating this. Do you think Quinn Ewers is miserable?
I mean,
he was definitely miserable on Saturday afternoon.
It looked like
going into Saturday night. The pain, what was worse, the pain of his abdomen?
Or
the pain of the cheers that went up.
Being in the blue tent and just hearing the crowd go nuts every 5 seconds.
And not that he's even jealous of Arch, but the fact that how come they don't love me like they love him?
That's the, especially being in the stands for that, that's the craziest part, is that Arch Manning, like the crowd loves Arch Manning. To honestly, it is disrespectful to Quinn Ewers, because when he left the game, he left in the middle of a drive, and then Arch came in. And when they announced Arch coming in, people were excited. I was like, you realize that means the starting quarterback, sir.
Does any of it have to do with the fact that he picked Ohio State originally, although we kind of know why that happened?
Yeah, I don't think people –
do they
think
care
that's
about that?
No.
It's just Arch being Arch?
I think that's what it is.
So he was a quarterback of a team who went into Alabama and won. Alabama turned out to be a good team who made the playoffs. Yes. He led you to a Big 12 title, your first since when?
2009.
You make the playoff.
Yes.
And yet, it's still, hey, get your ass out of here. We want to see Arch play.
That's crazy.
Well, you're one of those people. You're saying it's crazy. You may not be as loud about it, but you're right there.
I wasn't cheering.
Though. I know. That's what I'm saying. You may not be as loud about it.
Until he started scoring touchdowns
every
play. Yeah, of
course. You weren't cheering immediately after Quinn got hurt.
Oh, my God. Because at a certain point, it is like, to win the big games, you kind of do need Quinn.
Yeah, we have not seen Arch do what Quinn has done in big games. For all the questions about Quinn Ewers and his sometimes off and on play.
Yeah, like when Georgia comes to Austin.
Do you want Arch starting that game?
No.
No. No. No. No. Why would you?
I'm okay with Quinn Ewers, like, hey, get healthy for this week. Get healthy against Mississippi State.
Give Arch opportunities. Yeah, but because you're going to need him next year.
Because the upcoming schedule is literally UL Monroe, Mississippi State, both at home, bye week, Oklahoma, and then Georgia.
You want
like those two games you're going
to
need Quinn.
That's a run-up. That run-up for Arch is a perfect way to find out exactly what issues there may be and what he's great at on the field, and then you have some answers about things maybe you still had questions about him and his performance for the coaching staff, not just the fans. And then you get the bye week. Quinn Ewers comes back for Oklahoma, and who knows what Oklahoma will be. They got Tennessee this week. But I don't think it's awful that this is happening right now. I just don't know why anyone would be in a rush to throw in the inexperienced guy against what was the number one team in the country, and now is number two because you're number one. All right, I did mention this. Let's do this now. We're late for a break, as to be expected. Caller 5 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. It's this Friday. That is September 20th. We're going to be giving away tickets all throughout the week. This show, every other show, up until Thursday, actually. We'll end it on Thursday. So if you don't win with us, keep listening. You're going to have opportunities today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And, of course, if you don't happen to win tickets directly from a giveaway, you can certainly go on ESPN975.com under the Promotions tab to secure your tickets now. So what do you get if you come to this party? You get food from Philly Flats and BB's Texas Tex Orleans. You get JBRM food, Lanes, and Halal Guys. The drinks will be provided by Tejas Beer and Space City Vodka. There also will be a raffle where you can win a great prize from Republic Boot Company. And the big thing for some of you, if you like pictures, you get to take a picture, maybe several, we'll see, with the 2022 Astros Trophy. What does that mean? The Astros did something really big for the second time, actually, that year. And they got a trophy for it. You will get to take pictures, at least one, with that trophy if you're at the party. So that's why you should come. I think we have our winner. We'll have more winners throughout the week. We got one more segment to go, but before we do that, I want to talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is, well, should be your number one if you're looking to bet on sports or if you like cards. They do have the live casino option at MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag to check that out. And, of course, they have something new that you can take advantage of. It's their MyBookie Plus program. It's a loyalty program. Simply means if you bet more, you'll win more. And you'll have the chance, as you continue to bet and continue to move higher up in their tiers, to have access to really great prizes. If you remember that promo code, use it. It's bet975, and they'll match up to $1,000 on your first deposit. And the promo code will work for you if you're an existing customer as well. So you want to bet on the Astros tonight? You think they're going to bounce back? You can do that. You want to bet on international soccer? We've got smaller tournaments in England going on today. You can check out, I think it's called the Carabao Cup, if you want to put money down there. Obviously, college football will be back here shortly. Put some money down. If you like Tennessee against OU, place that bet. MyBookie will take it. Go to mybookie.ag, the website. They'll let you know. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Tom.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So, final segment here before Gallant and George take over. We talked about it pretty much through the prism of power rankings, but if we go around the NFL and what we missed out, we didn't dive really deep into what happened in Dallas with the Saints. We were just talking about how crazy it is that the Saints are this offensive juggernaut through 2 weeks. Clint Kubiak is their OC. Apparently he had an interview with the Bears, and the Bears are like, you know what, we're good. It seems like a mistake, at least through 2 weeks. So yeah, that happened. I'm trying to think of anything else that stood out beyond the Raiders going into Baltimore and winning. Of course, the stat there is the number of blown leads the Ravens have given up in their time, which is, you think, because of what you can do with Lamar Jackson to close out games, that wouldn't be a thing, but it is, and apparently it's not going to get fixed. Okay, we know the AFC South is 0-2. We didn't talk anything about this other than a passing mention. Bryce Young gets benched. I am surprised that it happened, but much like Brian Callahan, Dave Canales has no ties to Bryce Young, just like Callahan has no ties to Will Levis. So I think it makes it easier. He's not my guy. And if he wasn't brought in with the mandate that he had to fix Bryce Young, this is an easy call, I think, for him to make, because it happened in Arizona after 1 year with Josh Rosen. But the Panthers didn't have a number one pick, so they couldn't get away from Bryce Young because they traded away to draft Bryce Young the year before. So there was no let's get away from Bryce Young after a year. But after 2 years, I think they're well on their way to say, we don't have to deal with this anymore. We're wrong. And if our coach thinks he can't fix this, why saddle him with Bryce Young? And I would credit whoever made the decision, because it's not an easy one. It's obvious Bryce Young shouldn't be out there for a lot of reasons. But if you're the Panthers, you're like, that's our guy. At least we thought it was. But you're giving your coach the ability to get away from him. it's a tough one, but I credit them. Whoever decided this was what they were going to do, because right now it's a disaster for them. Although the thought is, maybe Rayshon guarantees you the number one overall pick, so maybe you should not be playing Andy Dalton.
That might be true. B, is Andy Dalton really? Is he gonna win so many games that you're not going to be the number one pick?
Well, the Patriots are a problem for them because the Patriots seem competent. So that was one of the teams we thought would have the number one overall pick. Now, they wouldn't have picked a quarterback, but...
Yeah, but already one game.
They already have a win. Who else was a contender? The Raiders already have a win?
Raiders already have a win.
So we're just talking about teams.
Broncos just drafted a quarterback.
Well,
is funny to go... Bryce Young just got benched, we're on first pick watch, and then go, well, the Patriots and Broncos just drafted a quarterback, so they can't draft another one.
The Patriots may not have a reason to play Drake May until later, and if they don't play him until later in the year, they can always say, just five starts. Yeah. We got to find out more.
Yeah.
The way the Broncos are going and what we've seen from Bo Nix, there could be a real chance. There's no evidence on the field that suggests they shouldn't draft the quarterback. Now, they may not do it because they've just drafted him. Yeah. They don't want to pull a Cardinals. But if you're Sean Payton, of course, the Russell Wilson thing, who can blame it on Russell Wilson? That's just Russell Wilson.
Let's do that.
He's not good. That's easy. That's an easy deflection. But if now you're starting Bo Nix and he's not good, although a lot of people could have told you that despite what you saw at Oregon, and you quote-unquote fail him, then we got to start asking some questions about Sean Payton. That's your handpicked guy, and he is not good. What does that say about Sean Payton? It would give some of the Russell Wilson truthers. See? We told you. Okay. We told you about him.
Can we get Russell Wilson on the field before the Russell Wilson truthers do a victory lap? Or
yeah, well, Mike Tomlin. Yeah,
play good football the first time in 2.5 years?
We'll see what they say if Mike Tomlin decides, no, we're not playing him when he's healthy. Then you can't really – you want to go off to Sean Payton for that? I guess you can. But if Mike Tomlin is pretty much agreeing with him, then maybe you quiet down there.
So here are the teams that are 0-2 with the Panthers. They're all various threats.
You just want to wipe out the Ravens from that equation?
Yeah, I was going to say that Ravens, Bengals, okay.
Not drafting quarterbacks.
So Broncos, aforementioned, the Colts.
Probably won't
be bad enough to be the number one pick. Carolina
the Giants.
Panthers, the Giants, the Jags, the Titans, the Rams.
The Rams would be interesting if they get so bad that they decide Matthew Stafford. Nah, but I don't see it happening. Not with Sean McVay there. Only if Sean McVay decided he was going to pack it up do I see them drafting a quarterback. He loves Matthew. He calls him Matthew all the time. I think the Giants are their biggest competitor.
Yeah.
Because we always have the Broncos maybe thinking they're not going to draft the quarterback. As I said, I don't think there will be any on-field reason for them not to draft one. It'll just be, oh, this looks bad. We missed so badly on Bo Nix, we're starting over again with the alleged quarterback guru. Perhaps Drew Brees was just good. Perhaps. All right, we're done. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We'll see if the Astros beat the Padres. Maybe something good to talk about there when we come back. Certainly more NFL and college football news to get to throughout the week. Sean, we're done. So what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.